December 2017. Nadia Atwee's vehicle is discovered wedged into some bushes at a park near her home.
Just want to tell her that I love her. Come back today. I would forget about what happened.
But Nadia is never seen again.
If I go back, I would react differently, but I didn't know.
The next call, the case of Nadia Atwee, available now on the CBC Listen app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
Hello, I'm Matt Galloway, and this is The Current Podcast. You know, I don't say this from personal experience, but I have been told that you can't put a price on the experience of winning an Olympic gold medal, unless you happen to be a track and field athlete, in which case, now you can. The international body governing track and field will be rewarding gold medalists at this summer's Olympic Games with a cash prize, $50,000 US. Across each of the 48 events that that body oversees. Here is World Athletics President Sebastian Coe.
I see this sitting firmly behind the principle and philosophy that where possible, the athletes have got to see a correlation between a sport that is financially growing and their own financial health and vibrancy.
Sounds great for those athletes. Other Olympic sports organizations have already criticized the move, saying it undermines the values of the Olympics. Bruce Kidd is a professor emeritus of sport policy at the University of Toronto, also competed for Team Canada in track and field at the 1964 Olympic Games in Tokyo. Bruce, good morning.
Good morning, Matt.
What do you think of this idea to pay gold medalists in track and field if they win?
Well, it's not a big surprise because track and field pays winners of the World Championships a financial amount that is even more than the 50K. But what's surprising, in fact shocking, is that the IOC, as your second quote indicated, has not had a discussion within the Olympic movement, has not rolled this out across all the Olympic sports. So it accentuates the inequality between sports and between athletes. And it turns the values of the Olympic movement, which emphasizes the collective joy of effort and intercultural exchange. It turns that on its head.
There are a lot of people who might say that the values of the Olympic movement are money. The IOC, the International Olympic Committee, makes a lot of money. Between 2017 and 2021, something like $7.6 billion US in revenues from the Olympic Games. There'll be a lot of money sloshing around in Paris around these games. Why shouldn't the athletes who are competing have some of that cash come their way?
Well, I would support that if every athlete who competed got some of that money and there was a redistribution formula, as the IOC does through Olympic Solidarity, to see that athletes and sports programs in the Global South, in the low and middle income countries, got more of that money to address the tremendous inequality in the world right now. But only give it to the gold medal winners in one sport exacerbates that inequality. And as you heard, that's not going down very well.
Why do you think this is happening? I mean, there's been some suggestion that Sebastian Coe, who is the head of World Athletics, is doing this to curry favor so that he can become the next head of the International Olympic Committee.
Well, I think that's a good hypothesis, although this may well backfire. Track and field has always had an uneasy relationship with the Olympics, and under several presidents, there have been efforts to either bargain for more benefits just for track and field or to threaten to move track and field out, which would be disastrous for the Olympics. So I'm not sure, I'm not close enough to know what micropolitics are playing out here, but certainly there are a lot of theories out there now, because this end run all by World Athletics and not bringing in even the other international federations that it normally cooperates with, like swimming. This is crazy.
He says that, and these are his words, that it's really important that where possible, we create a sport that is financially viable for our competitors. How expensive is it for athletes to compete at the Olympic level?
Well, once you, I mean, the real trick is getting to the point where you qualify for state sponsorship and private sponsorship. In Canada, as you know, for 50 years, the federal government has provided stipends and training support and so on to our best athletes. And that can be topped up by private sponsors, by the Canadian Olympic Committee, by Own the Podium, and so on. The trick and the hardship is getting to that point. And as opportunities at the community level diminish and become more difficult, that's harder and harder. It used to be in Canada that you could get to the Olympics on the basis of public programs. I did that in the 50s and 60s, as did all my teammates. Mm. But that's almost impossible now. You need private camps, you need special tuition, all of which is very expensive. And those costs can only be paid by wealthy parents and supporters.
Do you worry, I mean, going back to what you were saying about the values of the Olympics, do you worry that that has changed more broadly? Outside of this $50,000 check, is what the Olympics are ostensibly about, is that something that's in the rearview mirror now, something that sounds antiquated and quaint?
Well, I'm antiquated and quaint, Matt.
And I'm not saying that.
I still believe in those values, and I think many people do. But the fear is that they're being turned on their head because of the monetization of everything, as this World Athletics announcement indicates. I mean, in my day and in my memory, right up until at least the Sydney Olympics, Pierre de Coubertin's famous slogan, quote, "The most important thing in the Olympic Games is not to win, but to take part, just as the most important thing in life is not the triumph, but the struggle. The essential thing is not to have conquered, but to have fought well." You know, that emphasis upon a broadly based movement. Coubertin's slogan used to be broadcast or shown on every screen, in every venue, in every games. But it hasn't been shown for a long time. And the monetization of the gold medal has replaced that. The other big component of the Olympic movement is the intercultural collective aspiration for peace and understanding in a very difficult world, to bring people together in a common love of sport and culture and get to know each other and become a cohort to argue in their respective countries for a peaceful resolution of conflict, not an armed military one. Mm. And that was a much bigger part of the Olympic experience in my generation than it has become. I mean, when Bill Cruthers and I went to the Olympics in Tokyo, we participated in exchanges with Japanese people and dinners and social events as part of that. And the most moving part of my experience there was the realization that so many people in Japan were part of the anti-nuke movement and wanted the world to understand that and to broaden that as we went back home in their countries. None of that intercultural expression is a felt part of the Olympics anymore.
And you worry that perhaps this $50,000 is just another nail in the coffin of that?
Well, you know, athletes can use the money. I mean, Olympic athletes are not paid like NBA players. That money will be well spent, but it's the message and the alternatives that were not considered. I mean, the IOC gives about half of its money through international solidarity to sport around the world. And there is a redistribution factor for the Global South. If there's more money in track and field, that money should be spent in the same way to assist with development, to give every track and field athlete more support, to ensure that athletes from Africa and Asia have comparable conditions, and that would send a much better message. $50,000 by what, 80 events is not a lot of money, but it could be better spent if it was spread more broadly.
Bruce, good to talk to you as always. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Matt.
Bruce Kidd, Professor Emeritus of Sports Policy at the University of Toronto, former Olympic track and field athlete with Team Canada. He competed for Canada in Tokyo at the 1964 Olympics.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.